Tatra Amistrobin Hazarta.
Hadir Nava. Give me the power, I beg of you. Mortis Melodicor de Mervose. Andre Conte Guase Dembala. Awake!
You are all going to die tonight.
Panda!
Okay, I'm drawing a line in the bucket of sand here. Do not read the Latin.
Now that I've made the couch all comfy for myself, yes, yeah. I'm ready.
I've nested.
Nesting is important for podcasting.
Exactly.
Comfortable podcaster is a happy podcaster. hello. Yeah. That's right. We're actually already recording, so,
welcome to Don't Read the Latin,
the horror movie podcast. I'm Michael Montour.
This is Jennifer Lovely.
And we are here to celebrate the fact that it is October, which is our favorite month, by which I mean it's Halloween. That's yes. just what this month is.
Yes. It's threat level pumpkin.
Yes. It goes August, September, Halloween, November, yeah. December. That's how the calendar runs in our world. And because it is Halloween season, we thought we would start things off this month by talking about movies that are actually set at Halloween.
Mm-hmm. At or around.
At or around Halloween.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. That expands it. Just enough for me to include one more movie that I wanted to talk about.
Well, there you go.
I wasn't able to find as many of these as I thought I was going to find. Whereas Jen has... This is a giant scroll. It's like Santa's Christmas... Okay, no, that's not actually true, but it is multiple printed pages.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
I'm not talking about all of them, but well, it's the list.
Fair enough, fair enough.
What have you seen recently?
What have I seen recently? Well, as you know, I just finished watching...
Oh, Jesus, Grimey. I literally, with no table in front of me, flipped it.
Yes.
Said, fuck this noise.
She spontaneously manifested a table just to flip it.
I made a table flipping motion, yeah. And said, I'm going out to read.
Because I was trying to finish watching a movie.
Sure? I'm like, yes, I am so sure I'm going to go out and read on the deck.
I was trying to finish watching a movie before Jen got here. The timing did not work out right, so I still had like about half an hour of it left. And that was a movie called Satan's Little Helper, and I wanted to watch it because it is set at Halloween, and I wanted to have at least one more movie on the list to talk about. And I liked the first 70 to 80% of this quite a bit. As soon as Jen got here, it got stupid. And it's like, you know, you've got a dog.
I brought the stupid with me.
Well, it's like...
I keep a great big bag of suck.
That could be it. That could be it. I just figured it's like, you know, when you have a dog that knows a really amazing trick, and as soon as you have a friend over, you're like, do your trick. And it's like, what?
No, it's the frog. The frog and the
old one. Oh, yeah, yeah. The Warner Bros. Go ahead, sing, come on. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I was all sad and actually made the whiny complaint of, because I recognized Amanda Plummer in this movie, and I was like, oh, it makes me so sad when I see really good actors in really shitty movies.
And I was trying to defend this. I was saying, no, her character is actually kind of interesting and unique. Isn't it just the generic horror movie mom?
And then she spent the next 20 minutes saran wrapped in at the screen, and I don't believe you.
Yeah. Yeah, the rest of that wasn't so great. But the first part of it, I really loved. The first part of it was like the dark underbelly of a Steven Spielberg movie. Because the premise...
The poor man's...
Yeah, yeah. The premise of it was that you have this little kid who likes playing this video game called Satan's Little Helper. And on Halloween, he finds this guy dressed as Satan and decides, oh, that's really him. I'm going to be his helper now. And the guy is actually a serial killer. And, you know, what that happens. And there was just some fun, gleeful, dark humor towards the beginning of it. Like, the serial killer was killing people in their houses and dragging them out onto the front porch with the rest of the Halloween decorations in broad daylight. And people were just walking by and going, wow, that looks really realistic.
He's put a lot of effort into his Halloween decorations. There's
one point where a mom and her two little girls stop and like, can we take your picture? And he poses for the picture with the guy he's just killed.
I kind of liked his mask. It was a great big grainy smiley mask.
The mask is fantastic.
Which made him look very, very charming and smug. So anyway, that movie was terrible. And speaking of terrible movies, there was a movie I was talking about a podcast or two back that I couldn't remember the name of, and it was The Possession of Michael King, which is the man who loses his wife and decides...
That's careless.
Yes. You know, walking along, he trips and drops her somewhere.
Does he look behind the couch? No, anyway.
It's fairly sad and dramatic and yes. not good as losing wives go.
Yes.
But to make this better, but wait, there's more. It's like I'm Ronco, but wait, there's more. Decides his wife, who was a believer in the paranormal and believed in psychics and such, he decides that he is going to try and verify whether or not there is anything that is out there besides what we see.
Right.
And he kind of kicks the door down and says, fuck y'all, come get me.
Right.
Which,
seems like a poor decision, but that's an interesting setup for a film.
It is an interesting setup, and I was, even from watching the trailer, I was like, oh, and it was kind of terrible, and I did not like it.
He and his wife have any pre-arrangement on this? Or was this just his spontaneous idea? Because I was wondering if they were doing the Houdini thing. Do you know about? Okay.
No. I think he was just basically angry that she'd been taken. She regularly saw a psychic, and they were, I think, going to take a trip out of country, and the psychic talked her out of doing it, which is why she was in a position to be killed.
Right. Does he do bad things to the psychic?
He goes and makes her feel like shit, which six of one, half a dozen of another. I don't know. But anyway, I can't recommend it. I mean, you know, watch the trailer. If you think it looks like a wonderful thing to you, you certainly can.
I don't know. When you were first talking about it, you were like, watch this trailer. And I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, maybe that'll be good. Maybe not.
Yeah. As long as I'm on the fuck this noise stretch here. I'm kind of a true crime, dark side of humanity. Well, I mean, that doesn't really going to surprise many people. Dark yes. side of humanity. I know. Surprise, surprise. So there is this documentary on Netflix called Serial Killer Culture.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all about...
I want to see that. Yeah, no.
There are some really interesting parts in it.
Okay.
But there is a really big thing that just lops it off at the knees and kills the movie. Okay, so it is about the people who have a fascination with serial killers, who contact them in prison, who collect their art and their creations, collect memorabilia.
I think it's Poppy Z. Bright had Dahmer's refrigerator.
I would not find that surprising.
Yeah.
Here's the down, well...
But there's a downside to this, oddly enough.
Here's the big downside. I'm sorry, it's just so bad. To fund... They funded the documentary with a Kickstarter, and the Kickstarter had multiple perks. One of the perks was... If you gave them enough money, you could have a small part in the documentary.
Okay.
Except the price tag for a part in the documentary was really low. And so there's a couple of bands who write serial killer songs.
I see. Okay.
So you're like watching, you're like, this is really interesting. Oh, it's the people who do tours of like Dahmer's Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, that's really interesting. Oh, there's this guy who collects a lot of Ed Gein things. That's creepy and interesting. Oh my gosh, just the guy who, Gacy and actually went in and met with him.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes. And then there's these interludes of let's watch this band.
Okay.
And that band sucks. and you just, it just, you know. When you're letting people buy their way into your documentary by time in your documentary, you are really giving up on a certain level of quality.
And
it just... I don't think I finished it because it just got terrible. And I'd kind of made the decision that I was going to fast forward through the band parts, but it started high and then just... crashed and burned to where, and obviously you've seen as shown tonight, you know, my tolerance level for quality is
it's not there. Yeah.
It doesn't I'm going to embarrass myself with making this comedy.
Yay!
There, okay, so I don't like very many comedies, and I don't like very many stupid comedies, but there are a couple that have snuck in under my radar. And there was a movie that they did on the SNL sketch of The Ladies' Man, where he's the guy who's got the smiley face tattoo on his butt. Well, I was one. I watched it in the first place because it had Billy Dee Williams in it. And
Billy Dee Williams.
All right, fair. Okay. So, but as he's hitting on this woman in a bar, he's like, so we could do this or do this, or we could go back to my place. But for us to drive there, my car does not exist. So you would have to drive.
Okay, that's actually funny.
It does not exist. So my tolerance level for bad
does not exist.
So speaking of, have you seen anything else before we?
I have some
really good stuff that I've seen. One that you missed because you got sick.
I know. I'm so sad. I really wanted to be there for this one.
Burnt Offerings, which is another gothic style. The house is a bad house.
Yes.
Bad house. Gosh, what was the one? Because didn't you miss the movie before that, too?
I don't think so, but I don't remember what it was.
Yes, because you went to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right, okay.
So, what was the movie?
Was that the night you watched Stoker?
Yes!
Okay.
So, anyhow, I was so worried, because when you really, like, when you really, really love a movie,
now
I feel bad. But when you really, really love a movie and you want other people to love it, too, so I showed Stoker, and I showed Burnt Offerings, which I both really love, and literally, Jilly went on to, she went on to her thriftbooks.com, where you can search for books by, like, VIN and find, like, really hard. And she found the old, like, gothic novel and she, like, immediately bought the novel and, like, fell in love with it and immediately bought Stoker.
Yeah, Stoker, I knew she'd like Stoker. That was just a no-brainer to me.
Stoker, and they're both kind of, like, they're just really cool, kind of dark. They're both dark, and Burnt Offerings is, you know, it's a little slow-moving. It's very obviously 70s, but it's really good. I know I've told
you this before, but I want to mention with Stoker, I showed that to a friend of mine, and afterwards she was like, yeah, that was good, I liked it. In this, you know, just kind of mild, lukewarm way. Exactly. I honestly would. I would have rather that she'd had a stronger negative reaction than just like, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Because I loved it so much.
Yeah.
The
two I'm going to give a really brief mention was I bought the Scream Factory release of, they did and they literally had to make do a contract with multiple studios, but they literally did a Halloween compendium.
You told me about
Scream
that.
Scream Factory that has everything. It has every Halloween movie. It has the Rob Zombie versions.
Okay.
I mean, it has everything. It has extras.
I still need
everything.
To see his second one.
Yeah, I've got it.
Yep. Okay.
And I've also got some presents for you because
by
getting these in
presents.
Blu-rays,
right.
that now I have, you know, I have DVDs.
Oh, right. You have DVDs
going spare. Someone else.
Yay.
So,
earlier today, I wanted to watch Halloween.
You're going to own Halloween 1, 2, and 3.
Excellent. It is not on Netflix.
Uh-oh.
You know what is on Netflix?
Mm.
Halloween 6, I think it is, The Curse of Michael Myers. That's not a good movie.
Yeah, no. Even with the bad movies, a lot of times they have really, really, really good extras.
Oh, that's good.
Like with the one, because the ones after Danielle Harris, the one that she refused to take part in one of the movies because she's like, I don't like the direction this is going. I don't think it's good for the character. She does a behind-the-scenes documentary or just an interview where it talks a lot about what she's done in the series and what her feelings are and why she chose not to participate any further. Anyway, I just bought a projector. And
it's amazing.
And someday I'll get an even nicer projector so that the quality will be a little bit higher. But we bought a huge, wonderful screen that's got the white with the black around the edges. It is like literally having a movie theater in my house. and I just want to hug it, but, and I want to lick it. Like,
but,
it's
but the
mine.
Resolution is just not that good. Isn't that Brian's opinion?
Oh, he was certain that he was not going to like watching like all his regular stuff, that he was used to HD. But no, so I was watching. So I love my projector because it's big and I love it. But I was watching I was watching Halloween 1, the first one. In the bedroom where we have the newer HD television. It is a higher quality than that movie ever deserved.
Yeah.
I would probably put money on it. It probably looks better than it did in the theater.
Probably,
and
yeah.
It is beautiful. And I started watching one and didn't finish it. Started watching two. I've been catching up on all of last year's television.
Right.
Because we were prepping a house to sell, and that literally ate all our time. And so I've been watching lots of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and lots of Grimm. What I do want to mention, so the Halloween set is really good.
Before we move on from Halloween, I think I've told you about this before, but I used to have an actual Michael Myers mask.
Oh,
like one that was screen used.
Yeah.
And my cat destroyed it.
Because cats are bad.
Yes.
Cats are jerks.
But it was from, if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure that the movie that it was used in was Curse of Michael Myers.
That's funny.
And now that I have seen at least part of that movie, I forgive my cat. I think my cat was like, you'll thank me someday. Like, you know. Just,
okay.
Yeah.
He still missed me.
Yeah, he was a good kitty.
Yes, he was.
Other than the fact that he destroyed everything he ever touched, he was a good kid.
Well, you know, that's what cats do. Cats are jerks.
Yeah, it's true.
Kids are mean, yo.
Yeah.
And cats are jerks.
Yeah.
He liked
chewing on things and tearing them apart.
Because they have claws and they have teeth.
I remember...
They can't read books and watch movies to entertain themselves. So
yeah, exactly. They have to destroy things. And there was one time that I bought, you know, one of those huge, like, I don't know, 24 roll packs of toilet paper that
he
I had brought in. I left it in the middle of the living room floor to go out and get the rest of the groceries. He was so happy. And I wanted to be mad, you know, because I needed this. But he just looked so happy. He's like, look at this. Look what I've done. I was like, you're a good kitty.
Yes. So here's my last one. And I am really, I don't know what to think about this movie. And I'm not as caught as I was after watching Sightseers, where I'm like compulsively thinking about
it.
I'd heard it was really, really amazingly good. It's on Netflix streaming right now. It is Blue Ruin.
Yeah, I keep hearing that title and I know nothing about it.
It is a revenge film.
I generally like those.
It is in the same flavor vein of Kill List. Doesn't give you like a cohesive story so much.
It leaves
you with questions. It drops you in the middle of the story. It starts in the middle of the story and just 110 miles an hour goes from there.
Sounds good.
It's kind of a hard watch. It's very violent. What I will say, and I don't know how I feel about it. There's a lot of movies like that. When I saw Under the Skin, I was mesmerized by it. And there are things that happened in it that made me feel so strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And this did too, but I was not as drawn in. The one thing I will say is the primary character is mesmerizing. There's something in his face, there's something in his eyes, and there's a fortitude and a stamina in him that is really belied by his stature and his looks.
Mm. Okay.
Like, he seems kind of smaller and kind of nebbish, you know?
Sure.
But he, like, starts out the movie with this kind of wild man look, but there's just, like, something in his eyes and, like, where you can see the pain on his face. And other than that, I just don't want to say a damn thing about it. It's
okay.
I almost think I want to watch it again.
I will check that out.
It's a hard watching.
Yeah.
And it's a dark story.
Well, do you want to watch it with me?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Then that's what we'll do next Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. I think we should
cool.
give it a watch.
Cool.
It's a thoughtful piece and it's a vicious bite. And it doesn't feel good going down.
Right. Yeah.
But it's really interesting.
You saying that you're not sure how you think about this reminds me of something I've kind of reevaluated that I know I talked on a previous podcast and said, oh, I saw this and I didn't like it. Oh, what was the name of it? It's one where there's these two people who've been picked up by this rich couple and they're being dared to do things.
Not cheap thrills.
That's cheap thrills. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Is it sticking with you? Is it doing the sightseers on you?
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Same thing.
The first time I saw sightseers, I fucking hated
exactly.
that movie.
Exactly.
Hated it so bad.
And this was months ago that I saw cheap thrills.
I know.
And I'm still thinking about it. I'm still thinking about the performances.
I literally was raising my hand in a sick brother.
Yep. I'm still thinking about the performances. I'm still thinking about the ending. The things in it that I didn't like, I still don't like. You know, that there were too many parts of it where I thought they were going for the gross-out factor than being interesting or scary.
The latest killer POV is the producer of Cheap Thrills.
Okay.
And also a lot of other really good movies, but it's a good listen.
I should give that a listen,
They don't talk about Cheap Thrills that much, but it's just a really good conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they talk about the movie, the ones that they do with him, they kind of focus on the movies of the 90s, which is an interesting period, but they kind of riff so much that they mention a couple, but it's mainly just good discussion. Anyway, so let's jump in. Fucking Halloween, man. Halloween. I was thinking about that work. And I've been really tired in the morning because it's darker, and I get up at the butt crack of dawn.
Yeah.
It's so early. It's so early, and I'm not a morning person. But,
I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
I just go to bed at the same time every night, and it sucks. But,
That sounds suspiciously like being a grown-up.
It does. I carry all the grown-up for a bunch of people.
Designated adult.
I'm the stunt grown-up. I was complaining today that I was so tired, but it was October 1st.
Yep.
And I said, and I don't think I have to explain to anyone here who's looking at me about why that would be my favorite time of the entire year. So.
Just the other day, I was driving down the street, and it was gray skies and orange leaves all over the ground, and I was like, oh, it's coming.
You know,
that's starting to look like Halloween, and yeah, so definitely exciting. So, yeah, we already talked a little bit about Halloween itself, the movie that is Halloween, the Carpenter classic. The one that I want to bring up, though, that's not necessarily a great movie, but it's one that I'm pretty fond of, and a lot of people are as well, is Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
I want to also give a really brief mention to Halloween 2.
Yeah?
I'm really, really, really fond of Halloween 2.
Oh, okay. I should rewatch that. I've seen it, but...
We should rewatch it.
We
have brand new.
Yeah. And doesn't that start, like, immediately after the first one?
Like,
yeah.
Bam.
Which is something I love in sequels.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely will give that a rewatch.
You know, Halloween, it started a trend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can definitely say that there were slashers that happened before Halloween.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything else tailored the structure and the flight of slasher films.
Well, it's like the movie that we were just watching earlier, Satan's Little Helper. You never get a motivation for the killer, and you don't need one. You know, he's the masked killer. You know, which is just this horror icon. You're like, oh, okay, this is that, and that's where it comes from. Is from the original Halloween.
Yeah. So actually, I'm very fond of Halloween 3,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of wish he had been. I wish they hadn't misadvertised it.
Yeah.
Because the idea for Halloween 3 was for, it was supposed to be for subsequent years, he was going to do another Halloween movie.
Right.
As I throw out my finger quotes.
that you can't actually
see.
Yeah.
So there's my, but he was going to do a Halloween movie every year that had its own story and its own people, and it was just another scary movie for Halloween.
And people were like, where's Michael Myers? Yeah. And
but it's a fun movie.
So
and that fucking commercial, man. Oh, that commercial.
I read in an interview when Escape from LA came out.
Mm-hmm. I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, so did I.
Clink.
he said in this interview that he learned with Halloween 3 that people don't want anything new and different and exciting from their sequels. They want the same damn movie over again. So with Escape from LA, here it is. This is Escape from...
On a platter, spoon-fed.
Yeah, this is Escape from New York with a new set of paint. And, and that makes me sad, but he's right. You know?
That's right. People don't like different.
Yeah. But, yeah, Halloween 3, it's got the masks that explode or are poisonous
it's got
or
whatever. Tom Atkins!
Whatever is going on.
I love Tom Atkins just, yeah. so much. he's just so awesome! And he's kind of forgotten.
I don't know who we're talking about.
He's the primary man in Halloween 3, but he's also the detective in Night of the Demons.
Oh, okay. Which I have on my list here.
He's also the guy who picks up Jamie Lee Curtis in The Fog.
All right. Okay.
Because he fucking rocks. She goes to sleep with him, like, right away because he's fucking Tom Atkins.
All right.
I know you look like you could be my dad. I don't care. Let's get on into bed. I've known you for, like, 17 minutes.
That's long enough.
Let's go on, Tom Atkins. That's
what happens. So I understand there's some new commercial with Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, my God. Have you watched it?
I haven't yet.
Oh, my God. It's so fucking horrible.
But as soon as I heard it existed, I thought of you.
Yeah, of course. I watched it immediately.
Of course you did.
Talking about how lighting has done him so many favors, but it is literally Jeff Goldblum as Liberace. And you know what I've got to say I love about it?
Mm-hmm.
Is there are moments of him being so amazingly unattractive. Like, he is nigh on repulsive in this commercial, and it's hysterical. He's all like, yeah, baby, you want this. This is what you want.
That sounds hilarious.
And it's hysterical, and it's wonderful. And the fact that he has the body confidence and the sass to pull that off, it is delightful.
Nice.
I mean, it is a big old rug that he is wearing on his head, or they have done something epically fantastic to his hair that just, it's not natural. That isn't seen in nature. That's seen in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, you know, he would be like Liberace's boy toy, like, that he discarded.
Right.
Like, he would be the first boyfriend that he got rid of a long time ago. And is
got it.
Yeah. But what did I watch? So I did watch, I rewatched Season of the Witch.
Did you?
Yeah. And then I rewatched Ginger Snaps.
Oh, I totally need to rewatch that. I haven't seen it in quite a while. I really liked it,
and I still really liked it.
But
I don't think I liked it as much as on the first viewing. You know,
okay.
I have a big theory. I think movies are as important as that first viewing.
Yeah.
And there's certain movies that don't bear to repeat viewings. And I think it does. I think it was... but it just wasn't... I didn't feel like it was as good. And it suffers a bit from the time frame in which it came out.
Yeah.
That it feels very much of the time it was made. And it's not, you know... It's just... And, you know, I really appreciate all the practical effects.
Yeah.
Because it's wonderful that they did that. And I do... I don't want this to be... To give the misconception that I didn't enjoy it. Because I really did. But it knocked my socks off.
When you first saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, my socks were still on at the end.
Got it.
But I still really, really enjoyed it. And I love... I mean, Catherine Isabel and...
Yeah.
And I can't remember her name.
And the other girl.
And the other girl, who's a really, really good actress. And is really good in the second movie. So it's just, I still thought it was really good, and there's a lot to be said for it, and, you know, it can be, you know, it's another movie in the vein of Carrie of, you know, girls hitting puberty and fucking shit up.
Yeah.
I will make you die with my menstrual blood.
I thought this had a lot of interesting things to say about female friendship and about sisterhood. Now you're kind of reminding me that the movie I said at the beginning that I got to mention this now for not talking about specifically on Halloween is because it's set the night before Halloween. It's set on October 30th is The Crow, and that's one that I have tried rewatching and couldn't finish. I mean, I didn't hate it. I just was like, I am not loving this as much as I did when I first saw it.
I know
Because when I first saw it in the theater, I thought it was the best thing ever.
I know, I'm like the only goth who didn't.
Right, who didn't love it the first time.
I don't know, it just wasn't my cup of tea. And
It was totally mine at the time.
Yeah, you know what? I felt like such an oddball because I'm like, this is my subculture.
Yeah.
Why don't I love this as much as everybody else?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just, you know, why does cilantro taste weird to some people?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, and it's just not my thing. I do want to give it a rewatch. I might have the exact same reaction I had to The Craft, where there are things I appreciated about it, but I don't, you know.
Oh, that's right. You're not going to like this movie because it starts with a crow.
I know. Sound.
The Craft, Chronicle, The Crow, Chronicle. Yeah. None of these crow movies. How about Crawl?
I like Crawl.
Crawl is a good movie. No, that's a complete and utter lie, but I did enjoy Crawl.
It's not a good movie, but I love it.
I saw that for the first time only like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I wished immediately I had seen that when I was a kid.
Six or seven when, you know, the ferrets were like the coolest thing you'd ever seen.
Are there ferrets in Crawl, or are you thinking of Beastmaster? Yeah.
You know what? I was going to go into this complete story, and it's not a story about Crawl, it's a story about Beastmaster.
Let's talk about Beastmaster.
Let's not.
Okay.
I'm fairly certain, though.
Welcome to Don't Read the Latin, the podcast that is not about Beastmaster.
It's not about Beastmaster. If I'm not mistaken, again, Killer POV, because it really is my favorite podcast outside of ours, had the director
of Beastmaster?
Of Beastmaster on, because I think he's done a bunch of other genre stuff. And they were like, oh my God, I love this so much. And he's like, yeah, it was completely taken away from me. And it was not the movie I meant to make at all.
So the director of Beastmaster had this artistic vision that he feels the finished film does not live up to.
Exactly. Knights of Badassdom.
Oh, yeah. That's another one where you lose geek points.
Was directed by Joe Lynch, and the reason why it sat on the shelves is the studio decided to go a completely different direction because they didn't keep their faith in the director, and I haven't been able to watch it. And, I mean, I even know people who are extras in it, and I love Peter Dinklage, like, nobody's business. But I don't want to watch, from what I've gathered, is a very disjointed movie, because it's people who weren't driven to make this movie, trying to make a movie out of what they wanted, out of piecemeal.
Yeah.
And so I can't watch it, because I know it was completely taken away from him. They didn't even give him a chance to make the movie that could have been. And because of that, you ended up with this. And the thing is, I know there's people out there who just love it. But there's the people out there that I know that just love it, they just like movies, period. And, like, even a movie that they hate, it's like, eh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they feel about everything. That's the way they feel about movies. It's like,
movies are like pizza.
It. Yeah, it's like, there's no bad pizza.
Yeah.
I think there's bad pizza. And so I have a really hard time watching it, but it's funny getting this insight to the movie-making community. Realize how hard it is. And they're not all rich.
It's
a really hard job.
This is not horror at all, but you're reminding me of... I saw William Gibson at a convention years ago, and he talked about the making of Johnny Mnemonic. Not a good movie.
No.
And one of the things he was talking about with that is that... if Keanu's character seems inconsistent to you throughout the film, that is because they literally changed his basic motivations halfway through filming.
Ooh, I've never been a Keanu fan.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But he is an amazing guy.
Yeah.
From everything
I've heard.
And they're going to be making Bill and Ted's 3, I really hope that happens. But that's terrible. That ruins the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Because the first half of filming, they had his premise be that, you know, he had all these memories that he'd lost, and he was sad about this, that he felt like he'd lost a good chunk of his life by losing these memories.
Yeah.
And halfway through, they're like, no, he's totally a cool badass. He doesn't care that he lost these memories. And that's not even the same movie, you guys.
No.
You know, so trying to stitch those two halves together is part of why...
Yeah.
My favorite thing that he said about the making of it, though, is that they were making it at the time that Speed came out in the theaters, and so the studio was like, can we put a bus in it somehow?
No!
That's how studios work. They're like, what's the most superficial, dumb, obvious thing we can latch onto off of this successful film?
Speaking of Joe Lynch again, he tells a story of when, because his big start was making Wrong Turn 2, which I haven't seen any of them, so I can't speak to
anything. I think I saw the first one, and I don't remember anything about it.
He got a note. Because they get notes back of, like, things that they can change or improve. And one of them was that they wanted a killing oven.
A killing oven?
Yeah, an oven. Huh. They're like, well, can you put that in? And I hope I'm not mistaken. But he's like, well, but there... I don't know, was it a car or an oven or something? But he was like, but they're in the woods.
Yeah.
And they're...
Well, it could be this old abandoned house that has, like, an oven.
Or something, but no, those are...
I'm enjoying picturing this as, like, a willfully killing oven. You know, it's like the Mangler. You know, this oven door snapping open and shut, just chop, chop, chop.
Kind of like Jerry and Pee-wee's
exactly.
Playhouse.
Or what I'm thinking of is there's a movie that Miranda Wolf has been trying to get me to watch. She's still making
motions at him, and he's completely
I am studiously ignoring her, but it's not working. Ow, my torso.
Yay!
I figured that perhaps if I played along for a moment, then perhaps this game would end. Does that work with your child?
No.
Oh, I didn't think so. there's a movie that Miranda Wolf keeps trying to get me to watch someday, which is Deathbed. The Bed That Eats. And I have to admit, that's an amazing title.
I've heard it's a terrible movie.
It's gotta be, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should... And when I say we, I mean me and Miranda, not you and me.
Yes.
Should have a evil inanimate objects night, and we can watch that. We can watch The Lift, The Mangler.
I was actually asked, so I put the word out for, because I wanted, last year last year I did this like big 31 days of Halloween, and there was this thing floating around Facebook that had 31 questions, so it was very easy, you know, you just answered a question every day, and I wanted to do something like that celebrating October, but I didn't want to answer all the same questions again, even though, you know, I've got a year of the movie going and watching experience. It just didn't seem fulfilling. But that was the very first question. What is the obsession with, like, killing objects?
Yeah.
Like, evil objects. And I'm like, well, I wasn't aware. Well, I suppose there's Annabelle coming out.
That just doesn't look interesting to me. And I like killer dolls.
Yeah. I want it to be good, but I'm worried.
That whole opening scene of The Conjuring was practically the most terrifying part of the movie, was the scenes with Annabelle. But I've seen the trailers for the actual movie Annabelle, and I'm just like,
actually like it less with like the second trailer that they've done. Like, they get too far into the movie, where I just wish they would give us just a taste.
Yeah.
Like, I want just a taste, because that used to be the best part of going to the movie. It's like getting to see trailers, and you know, I want to see this movie or that movie.
There's some trailers I see, and I'm like, well, okay, I'm done. My curiosity has been satisfied.
So let's dive into Current and say The Guest, because The Guest is just fucking amazing.
That's half the reason I came up with this idea for an episode, is to have an excuse to talk about the guest again.
And I need to, because... You know, I listen to our podcast. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, I can't stand the sound of my own voice. I love the sound of my voice.
Yes. We're fantastic.
You're awesome.
We are our biggest fans.
I did this huge lead up about this compliment that I wanted to play Dan Stevens that I had to really seriously think about, and then I never said what the compliment
anywhere.
Was.
Oh, okay.
Compliment was that Dan Stevens possessed a level of threat and charm that rivaled Mitchum's and Night of the Hunter.
Okay, yeah.
Which I'd said other times on Facebook and things such as that, but I didn't say it in the podcast.
Right,
you
didn't.
It's kind of important to say it if you've kind of given this big lead up about this
Fair
compliment
enough.
That you want to pair. Because Robert Mitchum, to me, like, he had this
I can go back and edit that
charming.
Clip into the
Okay. I'll give him an excuse for the next one. But when I think of someone who is just charming and threatening in opposite beats, and where you're like, oh, wait, but you're seducing me, and oh, my God, you're frightening me, but you're seducing me, but you're frightening me.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what Dan Stevens did in The Guest. And another compliment that in The Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, the guy who played his mentor, whose name just always escapes me,
but he
played the farmer on Walking Dead. That he had this way of...
I've never watched that.
You don't need to.
I'm a bad horror fan. Really?
No,
okay.
It's not.
All right.
I keep thinking I'm going to watch last season, and I've heard it gets better, and it just... I don't know.
I tried watching the first episode twice, and I couldn't get through it either time.
First season's kind of rough. We watched the first, like, four episodes. I think there was, like, two episodes left, and they sat on our TiVo for... almost a year.
I read the first.
Just not caring.
I read the first couple of volumes of the comic, and I was like, "This is fantastic."
It has become a soap opera with zombies.
Yeah.
I guess you kind of have to for there to be an ongoing story.
Now I really want there to be that
a soap opera
with zombies.
But
it's like, do you love me or don't you?
Is that warm bodies?
Yeah, kind of. I like that movie.
But the point I was going to make is in the guy who plays his mentor in The Mask has a means of being charming and happy, and you're so pulled in. And there's times where he stops and his eyes are dead.
Yeah.
Are dead and it's gone, and you see the predator.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are times where I saw the predator in Dan Stevens, but there are also times where it seemed like he just shut down.
Yeah, and that was more terrifying than him being a predator, I thought.
Very empty,
especially even just that first time that you see it. Just him sitting alone in his room, and he doesn't have to be putting on an act anymore.
I'm
and
almost
just
afraid
off.
To say too much, because I really want people to go see this in the theater. And I don't want to...
Yeah, please don't watch the trailers for it. This is another case where I've seen trailers that
there's
really...
There's a fan-cut trailer that I'm like, there is no reason to watch the movie
now. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is too much. And
well, the actual trailers are not much...
Even showed it, and I'm like, you are doing such a disservice to your film, because it is so much better than cutting it down to this snippet. But it's really, really good. It's going to have a full distribution very shortly. It's coming in October. Right now, it's only in like 6 cities.
Oh, that's right. That's right. If you're in one of them, though, you should go see it right now.
But it's amazing.
What are you doing still listening to this podcast? I told you. You need to go see this movie right now.
It's good. It's the soundtrack's amazing, and Dan Stevens is amazing. Actually, all of the characters are really, really good.
Yeah.
I really liked everybody, and it's just a beautifully wrought package of awesome.
Yeah.
Do you want to do trick or treat and trick or treat?
Sure. I guess.
So trick or treat is set in the 80s, and we pretty thoroughly covered it.
Well, it was filmed in the 80s.
Yeah.
So.
Well, filmed and set in the 80s. Anyway. But it's charming and so very, very, very 80s.
I loved it. Yeah.
And it's got a little tiny bit part with Ozzy Osbourne playing the town creature. And Gene Simmons playing the local DJ. And what I love is the re-release of if you get a recently pressed DVD of it, it's got them all over it. I think they are in the movie for a grand total of like 96.
Something like that, yeah.
But it's charming in the 80s and awesome.
And it deals with like satanic messages and backmasking and all this stuff that people used to talk about real stuff, and I was kind of realizing watching it that, you know, somebody watching that day who's just grown up with, you know, digital media is going to be like, okay, I have no idea what the hell is going on.
I mean, it's funny because I've kind of introduced my daughter to a record player.
Yeah.
But they've also talked about kids not knowing how to use the VCRs in schools.
Oh, wow.
Because a lot of them still have a lot of things on tape, and they're like, shh, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah, huh.
I'm just going to really briefly mention Trick or Treat because it's a horror anthology movie, and I think it's just wonderful.
I hated it.
And he
hated
it.
I hated it so much.
I thought it was really fun, and I mean, it's definitely some stories are better than others. Talking to Jeff of Fanboy News Network, he liked it, but it really bothered him in a base sense that they called him Sam Hain.
Yeah.
Instead of, as the actual pronunciation is, Salen.
Yeah.
But that they nickname him Sam from calling him Sam Hain.
Yeah.
Because the one thing that really killed me is, have you hit the point in Supernatural yet where they call it Sam Hain? And
yes,
you're like, you
actually
should fucking know better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me come over there. Which is why I don't really...
Well, they're nice boys, but they're kind of hicks.
Yeah. You know? You're sweet but dumb.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it makes... They're like, you know, Bo and Luke, only fighting demons.
Yes.
I never really made that comparison until just now, and it's perfect!
It really is.
The Impala is the General Lee.
Another thing,
I will say that character, Sam Hain,
He's the best part.
I was charmed by that character.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching his segments. And
he's scary.
He's creepy. It's a great look.
I love the little gif that they occasionally throw up on Tumblr where they have him standing at the bus stop and he's over by himself and they have the little snickery kids that are off to the side kind of pointing at him going, hey, and then they show him standing there again with a big bag and no children.
Yes.
It's like, don't pick on the fucking freaky kid. Because we will fuck your shit up.
Yep.
Silver Bullet.
I've never seen it.
I love Silver Bullet.
Yeah.
It is just schlocky, and it's the only... The Cycle of the Werewolf is the only what would that be called? It's not a comic book. It's a...
I don't know what you would call that.
Graphic novel.
Which is it?
It was always referred to me as a graphic novel. But I read the graphic novel, and then I watched the movie, and it's kind of schlocky in 80s, and it's got Gary Busey being very, very Busey.
Which, always good.
I know, because he can chew the scenery with his great big teeth.
Yes.
And it's got Corey Haim, and which makes me sad now that he's gone.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a wonderful, scary movie for kids. And there's a point where it gets a little frightening, but I think a little bit of fear is good for kids.
Yeah.
So, I really liked it. Did you want to talk about Night of the Demon? Because we kind of really casually mentioned it, but...
Is it Night of the Demon or Night of the Demons?
Night of the Demons. Night of the Demons. I think Night of the Demon is also Halloween. No, because it's prom night, isn't it?
Doesn't I think... Something? I don't know.
Okay, Night of the Demons.
Night of the Demons is...
I don't have anything good to talk about with Night of the Demons.
That's reasonable. It's not a good movie. I enjoyed it. It's
Linnea
a fun
Quigley
movie.
And her
Yeah, okay. But and then lipstick. There's but then there's weirdness with those boobs.
I
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
It's no good.
Yeah. I don't know what it was with the 80s movies. There's that. There's gothic. You know, things going on with breasts that should not be going on with breasts.
That's right.
Yeah, that's just not okay. But, yeah, it's not a good movie, but I think it's a fun movie. I think it's definitely a good Halloween party movie. If you're getting together with a bunch of friends and you're drinking and you're not paying a hell of a lot of attention to the screen, it's the perfect thing to throw on.
Mm-hmm. In that exact same vein, and I know that you didn't like it, Hatchet is a complete throwback to, like, the 80s horror slasher. And it's not perfect, but it's sweet. And it's made by a guy who just loves that time frame.
I really wanted to like it.
I want to like Adam Green's stuff a lot more than I do because I find him endearing.
Yeah.
He has a podcast with Joe Lynch called The Movie Crypt, and it's a wonderful behind the scenes of the inner workings of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And making films.
I have that same thing going on with Doctor Who, and I can tie this back to horror.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Gatiss.
You have much more grievance with us straying from horror than I do.
True.
I think anything we talk about is awesome.
Mark Gatiss, and the horror connection here is that he did that wonderful documentary about English horror, mm-hmm. primarily.
They did cover Universal quite a bit,
true. But I love him. I love interviews with him. His episodes generally leave me cold. There's, like, one that he's done that I thought was really good, and everything else, I'm like, I want to give it that little You Tried gold star,
Oh, my God. No, Adam talked about this wonderful, I can't even remember what movie it was, but he literally wanted to have the byline be, Adam tried really hard, signed Adam's mom. And he thought this was, like, the best thing ever. And the studio was like, no.
Here's another complete divergence, but you just very strongly remind me of it. In the mid-80s, Marvel Comics had this line of comics they put out called The New Universe. Because, all of Marvel Comics were, like, taking place in the same continuity. And so this was literally starting from scratch. Here's this other continuity that we're doing. And it was a great idea. And some of the titles were pretty good, and the rest of it was really, really rough.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point they sat down and had an editorial meeting of, okay, here's the things we can do to improve this. And while they were working on how to improve it, they were also talking about, how to advertise that they're doing that. And Peter David, who's a writer I think is generally pretty hilarious, suggested the slogan, "The New Universe, it doesn't suck anymore," which I think they should have ran with.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would have been like, oh, really? Well, I should check that out.
That's tempting.
And what cracks me up is that's practically what Domino's Pizza did a few years back.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
We suck less now?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I don't remember exactly how they worded it, but it was very similar. It was acknowledging, our pizza wasn't good, but we worked on it. You should give it another try. Signed, Adam's Mom.
The Adam's Mom.
Since we're talking about movies that I don't really like,
I'm going to be surprised what you say.
You're not going to be surprised by this at all.
Okay.
Because I'm going to say VHS.
I don't want to talk about VHS.
Well, I'm going to talk about it only briefly because the one segment in it that was set at Halloween was actually halfway decent. Remember there's this Halloween party that these guys are trying to go to and they end up at the wrong house? Yeah.
Yeah,
there's the floating door and the handprints. Yeah.
See, that was the one I made you rewatch. Yeah. Because you walked out of the theater for a moment.
I did.
And then, but that was, you know, okay. So, you know, I completely want to pass over VHS because it's not good enough.
It's not.
And I don't want to watch the ABCs of Death because none of them sound like they're good enough. And sitting through 26 episodes of Not Quite Good Enough sounds even worse than sitting through, like, 4 episodes of Not Good Enough.
Yeah.
The thing is, every once in a while, it's kind of awesome, but it's just not enough to wade through the mire of what isn't awesome.
See, my plan is, if there's a good segment in the third one, I'm going to make my own. I'm going to take the segments I like from all of them and just put that, edit that together into
one film. Good movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think by the time that they have 3 or 4 movies under their belt, there's going to be enough material to have
film
one decent
minutes.
Movie. Yeah. I mean, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not counting on it. Well, anybody can contribute to the ABCs of Death.
Yeah, that's true.
It's only a 2-minute segment.
Yeah. That's been very tempting.
You should talk about that one, because I wish I liked it more. And I
I was just about to, because I remember that was the case.
I wish I did. It seems on paper, I should love this movie.
Yeah. And the movie that we're talking about here is May.
It just doesn't...
I'm trying to remember who the director was. It was
Lucky McGee.
Yeah.
Which I liked other stuff that he's done, and I like other stuff that he's done with her name that I can't remember right now.
Yeah. I was charmed by it. It's weird, but I liked the central character. I empathized with the central character. And the main reason I liked it, honestly, is for literally the last 30 seconds of the movie. Because that was almost kind of magical, that ending. And
I don't know. And I don't have a good explanation.
That elevated the whole rest of the movie for me.
And it was so sweet.
So, I don't know. I don't know if I would recommend to anybody, you should go out and see this, but I have a real, real soft spot for it.
I speak very honestly. I love everybody involved in it, and why can't I remember her name? But, and with every other movie I like, I don't know why I don't like
it. Yeah.
It's just missing something for me, and I don't know what it is. Are there any other movies that you want to talk about? I was kind of thinking of Flatliners, and have you ever seen Lady in White?
I have not. I have seen Flatliners, though. I forgot that took place near Halloween. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Flatliners is fun. I just found the DVD used, and so wanted to rewatch it. I'm very, very worried that it won't hold up.
I remember it being very 90s.
Yeah. I don't know. It might. I don't know.
The idea of it is fantastic, I thought.
Yeah.
I remember liking it.
I had Oliver Platt in it, and I just had the biggest crush on him. I just think he's adorable with his giant head.
It's like an apple on a pencil.
It is. It's like Sputnik. Sometimes he probably goes to sleep and cries himself to sleep on his giant pillow.
Okay, we're quoting an entirely different movie, but that's okay.
Lady in White is a really, really charming... I see it held up every once in a while as kind of a possible children's horror.
Huh. We should have had a double feature with that and The Woman in Black.
Yeah. But it's a child killer.
Oh, okay. That's a good...
But this little boy gets pranked by some of his friends and locked in a closet at school. And he sees a shade of a girl.
Oh yeah,
getting killed.
I remember when this came out.
And then you find out that it happened, 25 years back or something. And then you find out that there's people in his present day that are responsible for the child death. It's a very simple and it's kind of horror light.
Yeah,
and I really liked it. And it has a really young the boy from Witness and Brit, whose name I can't remember. Because obviously I don't get to remember names anymore.
Yeah.
You've
been spending too much time around me. My lack of knowledge of names is creating this negative vacuum that's just sucking
like that.
The names right out of your head.
I'm usually so good. And like, I'm one of those people that typically I can hear like somebody's voice or just hear them. And I'm just like, it's so-and-so. Or that's the guy who was in the thing, Lucas Haas. Was his name anyhow?
Okay,
but he's really good. And he's very young. He's probably like 9 or 10, and it's I don't know, it's just really good. It's kind of in the vein of, you know, kind of like the Uninvited, where it's, you know, kind of not a horror movie and never really fully becomes a horror movie.
That gives me a nice segue to talk about something that I barely remember. I saw it when I was a kid, and I remember I loved it when I was a kid. The Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane.
So, okay, I was going to bring up The Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane.
Because that is set at Halloween.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so the two I'm going to mention that aren't really horror movies that I wanted to just give real quick props because they have moments at Halloween are Practical Magic and To Kill a Mockingbird. Both movies, To Kill a Mockingbird, I love so much. But in Practical Magic, there's just this fun, sweet movie that's set around Halloween.
Right.
But don't really have a part to play in a horror podcast. I have an entire list of movies that, according to Wikipedia, took place at Halloween, but I don't remember that playing any part in the story. And one of the ones that it mentions is The Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane. And I don't remember any part of that being about Halloween.
Neither do I.
It's a really fucked up movie, because I've seen it really recently, and I own it, and I planned on showing it for one of our for one of my movie nights.
Cool, I've been wanting to rewatch it.
It's
because
really
all
good.
I remember is the ending.
Oh, come on! From Silence of the Lambs and Taxi Driver and Freaky Friday and...
What?
And
there's
Contact.
Someone who was in... Oh, Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, yeah.
Because I could go through her entire list, but apparently I don't get to have her name. I was going to mention movies that, according... like, what the hell? Wikipedia? You could be completely lying to me. But movies that are mentioned that take place on or around Halloween... but I don't remember taking part, are Amityville Horror, Blair Witch, The Changeling.
Changeling takes place near Halloween? I don't remember that.
Creepshow 1 and 2, Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane, Sinister, Insidious 2, which you'd think Insidious 1 would also take place somewhere near Halloween, considering it's the next day.
Yeah.
Poltergeist and Pumpkinhead, and I don't remember them ever mentioning. You know, it might be set in the... I don't know. They might be full of crap.
There's one you mentioned a couple back.
And I also wanted to do a quick mention of some children's films that take place.
Creepshow. The only thing I remember being Halloween about that is the framing sequence.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. You know, the part that has Joe Hill in it.
Yeah. You know what? I have not seen the Creepshow movie since I was a kid. I love
the first one. I will rewatch that anytime. I own that.
The second one
has one really good segment, the raft.
The raft. Yeah.
Central Cinema a little while ago, they showed Maximum Overdrive.
I love that movie.
And as a warm up to that, they showed The Raft. And I was like, "Oh, that's the way to do it. Is just show this one piece as a short."
Yeah.
Because everything else in it, I don't remember. The first one had something to do with like a wooden Indian. You know,
that one was kind of terrible.
Yeah.
The Wooden Indian was kind of terrible.
Yeah.
I would like to do
the acting in it was kind of, you know.
I would really like to do an I could take you down.
She could. She's poking me again. Apparently, it's not a complete podcast episode unless I get poked.
My love hurts. I also did want to do a real quick children's fair.
Yeah.
I actually did a list today because I am celebrating my 30 days or 31 days of horror, and I don't think I'm going to do a post every day. There's a lot of... I love writing for my blog, and I think I have interesting things to say.
Yeah.
But I worry a lot about what I say.
I really enjoyed your why I enjoy owning physical media post that you just did.
I was really heartfelt. Anytime somebody gives me grief, are those VHS on your shelves? Yes, I fucking own VHS.
Yeah.
You want me
you're
to show you
right
my
there,
goddamn
right?
Laserdiscs?
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I thought I'd found this huge supply of Laserdiscs because we just kind of wrapped up really early 2 weeks ago or a week ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I want to go to Value Village. They had the one where it's a cartridge.
Oh, yeah. The Selectivision video disc players.
Except they were really good ones. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to buy these? Oh, and then I looked at them and I'm like, these aren't Laserdiscs. I don't have, I'm not buying that player.
I'm sorry, I'm afraid my mom finally got rid of the Selectivision.
I know, and weren't you really
player?
Sad because you...
I was kind of sad.
But no, I mean, it was like really, like I literally, there was like 7 or 9 of them. That they were, like, really good movies.
I don't know if you know the big downside of those is that you can only fit about half a movie per side on one of those.
Well, it's the same thing
with Laserdiscs. Is it? Oh, okay. All right.
Laserdiscs are also double-sided.
All right.
We need to get a really big cord for Mike, because currently, because we have the projector, I need to get a second cord because the VCR and the Laserdisc aren't the same kind of cord as current day.
Oh, okay.
DVD
sure.
DVD and Blu-rays.
Sure.
And, except, you know, to go to a projector... It literally has to be at least 30 feet long, so we need to get an extra cord, because I have The Addiction.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which I love.
And I remember liking it. I don't remember much of anything about it.
Yeah, it's pretty much only available on Laserdisc anymore. I think it got a very limited, small-run DVD release.
I think I've told you the just basic idea of the movie was part of my inspiration for my novel Still Love.
Oh, yeah, because you're like, you can do a little bit better than this. I'm not going to say it was wonderful, but it held two of my favorite things in the entire world at the time, where I had just learned to love them, and it was Lily Taylor and Christopher Walken.
Yeah. It's a really good cast.
Yeah. The movie could have been a little better, but, you know, I'll take it. I do want to do a real quick rundown of great children's fare. Beetlejuice, Hocus Pocus, Silver Bullet, which I kind of see more of as children's fair. Hotel Transylvania, which is going to be our family Halloween costume.
Yeah.
This year, Tecla wants to be Mavis with her pouty pouty bat face. The Monster Squad, Nightmare Before Christmas, Paranorman, Something Wicked This Way Comes, Corpse Bride, and It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Aww.
I swear to God, Tecla and I every once in a while, like when we're talking about Halloween and bags, what did you get, Charlie Brown?
I got a rock. did you
and every once in a while, I swear I'm going to do his costume with all of the holes.
Yes, that would be fantastic. Did you ever see Monster House?
You know what? I did before Tecla was watching Scary Cartoons, and I have it on DVD. It's just we haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
And I remember liking it, but not... You know what? I just remembered E.T.
Oh, yeah.
E.T.
Totally
takes place
at Halloween.
Halloween. Oh, I never would think of that as, but I guess for children's fair, it makes a good one.
That reminds me, somehow, I don't know why it reminds me, but did you ever watch the Beauty and the Beast TV series back in the 80s?
Yes, and I own it.
Okay.
Because Ron Perlman, I'm surprised he didn't make me a furry.
Well, do you remember that there was a thing in one of the episodes with that where you find out that Vincent loves Halloween because he can go out in public?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now we're going to pause to cry for a minute.
Because I'll cry for Ron.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I think I have literally one thing left on my list that I wanted to mention, and that's Donnie Darko.
Oh, yes.
Which,
I need to rewatch that. I haven't seen it. I own it, but I haven't seen it. I saw the most wonderful... I hogged the mic. I said the most wonderful, there was a guy that I worked with that was doing Twisted Double Features, and he did a double feature with Harvey and Donnie Darko.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen it since then. That was when I was dating someone who won't be named.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes.
That one.
No, I know
that one
mean.
That people talk to me still about of like, what the fuck were you thinking?
So you're dating when I met you, I believe.
Yeah. No.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, when you remembered meeting.
Oh, right. When I met you, as opposed to when, because apparently with some people, that can be a difference of years.
I'm so old.
Yeah. Anyway, Donnie Darko.
Darko,
the Halloween element of that is just really essential to it.
Yeah.
It would be
a
totally different feeling movie. It is, yeah. Here's the thing. I both think it's an excellent movie, and I think it's overrated.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of a hard trick to pull off, but it somehow manages. You know, I think it's a fantastic movie. I don't think it's life-altering, you know.
Some people treat it like it is.
Yeah.
The one that I don't know. I feel like it's that little part of me that has felt so alone that I feel like I'm missing something. that allows me to connect to people, because there's these movies that I'm like, why don't I love that the way, because uh-huh. I like all these things that you like, why don't I love that thing? The Crow.
Yeah.
I like Donnie Darko, but I'm not like,
yeah.
The Fifth Element. I like The Fifth Element.
I'm not huge on The Fifth Element either.
But, you know, I loved it, and I watched a lot when it first came out, but I don't, you know, I'm not like, the memories.
Yeah.
And, gosh, I love that movie so much, and I'm just...
What it kind of made me wish that...
Some comedies, too, where it's just like, people are like laughing so hard, and I'm like, I don't get the joke.
The Fifth Element made me wish that... that's Genet, isn't it? If I'm remembering right, directed it? Or Besson?
Luc Besson?
Yeah, Luc Besson. Okay.
Well, I basically like.
I
like him as a director.
I wanted to see what he would do with Doctor Who.
Oh.
That was what The Fifth Element made me think. Because his element of weirdness would be, I think, a really interesting match.
Yeah, I want to, Brian saw Lucy, which is Luc Besson in the theater, and he thought it was just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
And seeing the ads for it, I absolutely do want to see it. I was trying to think of, like, you know, I was trying to tally up, you know, what's come out this year, and what I've seen come out on VOD, which is very hard to track and find. And to find out, like, you know, what's just... Because things just get released. They just get thrown into the wild of Amazon or Netflix, and you don't really... You have to be paying a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Ruin, The Sacrament. You know, a lot of these movies...
The basic idea of Lucy still just fills me with anger whenever I think about it, because it's based on the whole...
Is that 10% of the thing, which is utter fallacy.
Exactly. You know, this is like Lamarckian evolution.
What?
We know this is not a thing.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't need it, though. You know, it could have just said, you know, it unlocks the hidden potential of the human brain.
Right.
You know, without...
Yeah.
Without tying into
Stop.
This known...
Stop.
Bullshit.
Stop.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Because I don't need...
Science doesn't work that way.
I don't need a good explanation, but, but I'd rather you didn't have it lean on something that's
just,
actively discredited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care if
I still really
want to
see it.
I feel like I'm very likely going to kick myself if I don't see it in the theater, and I don't think it's long for the theater at this point.
Is it still in the theater?
Yeah.
I
think it's going to be one of those, who cares? I have a theater at home.
We might catch it in the second run.
Yeah.
I will keep an eye on what's going on at, like, the Crest. And,
yep.
Or the Admiral Twin. Oh, wait, no,
it's not my house.
It is, yeah. I was going to say, no, that's way out in West Seattle. Oh, which is where you live. Right, yeah, okay. To me, that feels like the middle of nowhere, but...
Yeah, it's because that's where I live. In the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Now, at least you don't live out in Woodinville, which I think is where my friend Jason's house is. All I remember is that
you're like, am I there
yet? It's surrounded by trees. It's surrounded by so many trees.
Am I there yet?
And the first time I was there, and it got dark while I was there, and I had to drive out of there and realize there are no streetlights along the sides of this street.
I completely ignored Satan's Little Helper. And Pet Sematary and Pet Sematary 2, apparently.
There's Halloweenness in there?
I guess so. There's another one that I tried to watch, because I've heard the director came out with a second movie. It's a movie called Murder Party, which came out in 2007, and I
like the title.
I got in... this guy finds an invitation to a Halloween party, and has to, like, cart himself out to the middle. He, like, lives in the city. Like, it kind of feels kind of New York, kind of, you know, dirty, gritty, you know, everybody's anonymous kind of city.
Yeah.
And he travels and travels and travels and travels and travels to get there. And then, like, as soon as he gets there, like, their shtick is, like, killing people. Because he got invited to a murder party.
Uh-huh.
And it just... I was
that
like...
sounds dumb.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of like, you know... I was like, felt my eyes drifting shut. And find it within myself to care. And then when they jumped on him and were like, let's kill him right now, I'm like, and we're done. Because I don't care anymore.
Actually, you could just decide, and then they killed him. You know,
and then he died.
Yeah, that's the entire movie.
I was like, and we're done. Yeah.
I like to mentally put different endings on movies sometimes. I don't know about you, but...
You know, and what's funny is, you know, the laugh I've heard recently of... you know, stop remaking good movies that did it properly the first time. Remake the bad movie that has potential and improve it. Like, if you really want to do something, like, if you're not brilliant enough to just possibly think up your own idea, grab, you know, but the problem is they want to capitalize.
That's true. On name recognition.
Popularity and the name recognition, and you're not going to get that as much with a movie that didn't quite pull it together. But, yeah, they're like, if you really want to do something amazing, make something wonderful from that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
My go-to example of that one is still House on Haunted Hill.
That was a lot of fun.
The remake is a lot of fun. The original was tedious.
Yeah.
I think we've said all the
awesome that exists.
I think that about winds it up for our topic. So I hope that gives you guys some ideas of what to watch.
Are you coming to this Friday?
This Friday, yes. Yes.
We are
watching
Oculus, which I've heard works better
on the second viewing?
It works better on a smaller viewing.
On a smaller viewing,
because it's a small film from what I've heard to people that seeing it, you know, in a closer, you know, a tighter set of people works for the film.
And when there's not a crying child in the theater?
And when there's not a really butter 4-year-old to see people get really hurt.
By their parents.
By their parents. Oh, you made poor choices.
Yes.
You're a bad parent, you woman out there who took your little kid.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it again. I remember Karen Gillan was just being amazing in it.
Amazing. And to me, it's worth it. There is a certain amount of disappointment with the ending, but the craft and the mixing of the timelines is so beautifully done that it's worth. It was worth the price of the Blu-ray. It
yeah,
was worth
yeah.
The theater.
Cool.
It was just
so
good.
The ending was way bleaker than I wanted it to be, but on the other hand, that was like the ending that. It practically demanded, you know, because when I was watching just the setup of it, I was like, I only see one way that this plot can go, and if it doesn't do that, if they find some way to pull a happy ending out of this, I'm going to think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
And they did not pull a happy ending out of it.
Another one that I'm... really, really, I really want to show, and I actually bought it on DVD, is I want to show Absentia, which is first movie by that director, which is kind of a Lovecraftian.
Yeah, no, I had you watch that. Remember?
I know, but that's,
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were informing the guest,
informing the
listeners,
the
guest,
not so much informing
okay,
you.
Okay, all right.
He...
Yeah, I really liked Absentia.
Me too. He was given... He has been given a movie that I was really, really surprised about. And I'm kind of really interested in see what he does.
Justice League. No, I'm kidding.
Did Oculus... He did a movie called American Marriage. Oh, he's doing a Gerald's Game.
Oh.
Which is a Stephen King adaptation.
Yeah.
Which I haven't read.
I don't know how you get a whole movie out of that. I have read it. I really liked it, but it's very thin. In terms of plot.
Well, you know what? He seems to do interesting things.
Yeah.
So, I'd really like to see the short that because there was a short that he did before he did Oculus. It's called Oculus Chapter 3: The Man with the Plan.
Huh.
So I'd be interested in seeing.
Yeah.
What the short looked like.
Oh,
know?
Man, I still want there to be a series of shorts.
The backstory.
Yeah, the backstory we got of all these different things that happened relating to the mirror, that sounded great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be fun to actually see them.
All right, well.
All right, so I hope this has given you guys some ideas of movies to watch this Halloween season.
Happy Halloween season, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just the best time of year. Best time.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, have a good time, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yep. See you then.
Bye.